Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here today. I hope that you're having a wonderful day where you are, both in terms of your circumstances, but most of all, your walk, your relationship with the Lord, that you're in fellowship with Him, that you're hearing from Him, that you're experiencing Him, that you're seeing Him work and move in your life. As I film this today, it is an absolutely beautiful day here. We had a lot of rain over the weekend, but it has cleared off. It's turned cool. It was cold enough for a jacket earlier this morning, but it's an absolutely beautiful day. But by far, the thing that makes it the most beautiful, the thing that makes it most wonderful, is the fact that we get to come together and to meet with our Lord. Now, I'm thankful for Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible, but more than anyone, I thank our Lord who loves us, who created us, who has sent His Son to be our Savior, who has sent His Spirit to commune with us, to indwell us, in fact, and He's given us this time to meet with Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day that You have given to us. Lord, this opportunity just to stop, to turn our hearts and our minds towards You. Lord, to be filled by You. Lord, to be guided by You, to be strengthened by You, encouraged by You. And, oh, Lord God, we need You. Speak to us, Lord. Reveal Yourself. Reveal Your ways unto us. Oh, Lord God, let us know You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, A.W. Tozer once observed that in his years of walking with the Lord and growing in the Lord and knowing the Lord, that the only thing eccentric, that is, the only thing unusual, if you want to call it that, that he could find in God was God's love for us. To think that a God so great and mighty and holy and wondrous would in fact love weak, sinful, fallen creatures such as us, want to redeem us, adopt us as His children. Again, you know, again, as Tozer said, the only eccentric thing about God is His love for us. And yet as we open God's Word, we see repeatedly that we are deeply loved by God in a portion that is unlimited, in a time frame that's in fact eternal. And we see this brought to our attention in Psalm 8, a very short psalm, but a very powerful psalm. The depths of this psalm, in fact, are absolutely mind-boggling. It is, in fact, a messianic psalm. It's a psalm that prophesies of our Lord and His coming. And yet there's also what you, for lack of any other term, a practical message for us as well. It speaks to us in our walk. And as we think about this passage, as we think about this psalm, we are reminded of God's tremendous love for us. And we think about how God's love for us is seen, first of all, in God's purpose for us. Think again about, think about what we read in verses 1 through 2. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth, who have displayed Your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes You have established strength because of Your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. You think about it. There is a meaning and a purpose in our lives, and that is, in fact, to glorify Him. Yes, God has a unique calling for each of us. He has a unique purpose for us. He has gifted us uniquely and then given us to a fellowship to serve Him. But ultimately, all of that is, in fact, to be for His glory. You think about what Paul was inspired to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You think about what we read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. You think about all that God has made, and this psalm speaks of it. You think of the heavens, you think of the moon, you think of the stars, you think of the sun, and yes, they testify of God, of His eternal existence, His perfect wisdom, His sovereign control over all things. But it is we that God wants to glorify Him most of all. You know, you think about what did the old Westminster Catechism say? When it asked the question, what is the chief end or what's the chief purpose of man? And the answer is the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And you think about how many individuals struggle to find the meaning, the purpose of life. Well, here it is. It is, in fact, to glorify God. And what an absolutely incredible thought that is, that such a God as He would want praise from such beings and creatures that as we are, again, as weak and small and frail and sinful as we are. And yet, amazingly enough, the less we have to offer God in our thinking on our scale, the more God is in fact honored when it is made obvious that it's His power that works through us. Again, you think about what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write. You think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so He may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Our purpose is in fact to glorify God. But we also see not only God's purpose for us, but God's place for us. You think about what we read in verses 3 through 5. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you've made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. God made man immediately before him. Now, by immediately, obviously, there is a great gulf between who God is and who we are. But the idea being is that there's no one in between, if you will. As far as we are from God, yet there's nothing in between. God has, in fact, put us in that position immediately below him. You think about it, God made, again, the moon, the stars, the heavens, the animals, the angels even. But we are what God wants and loves. We see this in creation. We also certainly see it in redemption. Again, this is a messianic psalm. It ultimately speaks of Christ. But again, even in that, you think about how that speaks of God's love for us. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was not for the fallen angels that God sent his Son to die upon the cross. As smart as angels are, even fallen angels, as powerful as they are, even fallen angels, and it was not for them that God sent his Son to die upon the cross, but rather for us. You think of the incredible place that God has for us. In his created order, yes. But the place he has for us in his heart. How deeply we are loved by God. The incredible place that he has for us. So we not only see the purpose, we not only see the place, but notice as well, we see number three, God's plans for us. Look at verses 6 through 9. You made him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beast of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You know, apparently in the garden, man truly did have dominion over everything. Christ obviously has it now, and we study prophecy. Apparently in the millennium, we will share that dominion, that ability to rule, in fact, with him, under his authority, of course. But you think about the wonderful plans that God has for us. You think of the rapture, and how as believers we'll be with him as the tribulation unfolds here on earth. You think about the fact we come with him at his second coming. You think about the fact that we have an eternal home with him in New Jerusalem. How much God loves us. But I realize as we talk about those things, what so often goes through our mind is we know that that's great, that's wonderful, I believe that, I know it's true. God certainly does love us to want us to be with him like that. But you know, I have these problems and these issues now. That doesn't help me deal with this particular problem now. Well, in a way it does. And think with me for a moment. If God has plans for us that go into eternity yet to come, does that not stand to reason and imply that God has plans to get us through today? I mean, He can't get us to eternity to come if He doesn't get us through today. And I'm not trying to minimize anything anyone's going through right now, but merely to point out the fact that if God has an eternal plan for us, that means He's got to get us through today. That means He's got to get us through this crisis, this difficulty, however great and heavy it is. And again, I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm just trying to show the fact that God has a plan to get us through this in order to fulfill that ultimate plan. Again, you think of the verses that we so often quote and probably have memorized. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for well-being and not for calamity, that you might have a future and a hope. Romans 8:28, for God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to His purpose. You think of the incredible plans that God has for us. For those to come to fruition, that means that God's got to get us through whatever it is we're going through today, or we'll go through tomorrow, or next week, next year, however long it is that we're on this earth before we're called home, or until He comes for the church. You think of the plans He has for us beginning from this very moment all the way through eternity to come. What love. You know, Tozer was right. When you study God and you seek to know Him, the only eccentric thing about Him is His love for us. But His love for us is repeated throughout Scripture. It is shown, it is proven. You've already experienced it. We will experience it going forward. What a wonderful God we have. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You, O God, for Your love for us. Father, a love that is indescribable, beyond our incomprehensible, eternal. Oh, Lord God, what a God You are. Thank You for Your love for us. And Father, I pray now as we go through this day that we will rest in Your love, seek Your purpose, walk with You, but know, oh God, that we're deeply loved by You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do hope that you have a good rest of the day at whatever point of the day it is you watch this. And as you go through the rest of this day, I hope that you remember, as we've seen in this psalm, that you are deeply, personally, immeasurably, eternally.